I'm now on my best behavior because my boss is sitting right in front of me staring at me saying...
I've been here all morning.
Oh. Okay, fair enough.
I'm not your boss for the next 30 minutes. I'm just a guy with takes.
All right, F you.
Spitting hot takes, Spectre.
No hot takes, just takes.
That's right. Spec from the 816, let's start it off.
Good morning.
Have you ponied up the lunches for the boys? I know they've gotten some subscribers on YouTube. I see the number going up. Don't cheap out. Take them somewhere nice.
Talk to me when we hit 3,000.
Okay. What are we at now?
2,500.
All right. So we need, okay. All right. 500 more.
There we go. Subscribe. Just go subscribe and you get lunch.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine that told me that he, I'll shout it out, Barry from the J. He goes, I created 8 YouTube accounts just to subscribe so Spectre would have to buy you lunch. I
said, no, well, thank you. Eight YouTube accounts.
I said, well, 8? Why? He goes, well, he listed why he's got 8 YouTube accounts, but he subscribed from every one of those accounts.
Because everybody forgets their password and just creates a new one. Hotmail, AOL, Gmail. Yeah.
What, can you even name 8 different Barrys?
Barry Manilow, Barry Word.
Yeah.
Barry Sanders.
Okay. Barry from the J.
That's Barry from 4. The J.
Strawberry, raspberry.
Yeah, Daryl Strawberry. Yeah.
Barry White.
Barry White's a good one. Barry White or Barry White? Barry White.
Oh, yeah.
B-A-R-R-Y, right? Barry okay, White, yeah. Yes. I think I'm going to go home now.
Spec's sarcastic smile. He's in the same ballpark.
Is he there,
is that,
too?
Yeah. Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds. Ah, that's a good one.
Yeah. It's like there had to be a Barry baseball player.
Yeah. Did we say Barry Bonds? Or Barry... Barry,
Barry Zito.
Barry Zito.
Oh, man. Barry Zito. What a curveball.
So there's some Barrys for you.
I worked with a guy in Seguin named Barry, but I forgot what his last name is, but he passed away.
There you go. So let's start off the round table with Royals, and we can move into football and gambling. As a guy that runs a lot of stuff here, what did the Royals do for you this year?
You know, I heard you guys talking in when was your buy-in moment?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a really interesting question. So I had 2.
Thank you.
One was March 26th when I put in all my futures on the Royals and they finally cashed this year because I've lost a lot of money in the last couple of years.
Are you even yet now on them?
This year helped.
It helped.
Yeah. But still, 4-1 to make the playoffs was a profitable bet for the season.
Okay? Even Steven.
My other answer, and it was so early in the season, you remember game 1, they lost to the Twins 2-1 in that really good Pablo Lopez Cole Reagan's matchup.
Yeah, opening day.
Yeah, Thursday.
Right.
Then they lost again on Saturday, and everybody had the same thought, oh boy, because remember they got swept by the Twins in 2023. They lost 3-4 to Toronto, and the season was over before Easter.
Right.
That Sunday, they beat the
early
Twins
that year.
Like 11-0, and it just felt like a sense of relief. So it was that first Sunday game. I think they scratched like 11 against Bailey Ober.
Who?
Yeah, Bailey Ober. I remember because I had a
barely over the other day.
So that was my moment.
Yeah.
It was the first Sunday game. It was game 3 of the season. It was like, this felt back. Different.
Bailey over?
Yeah. Well, I remember because I had a money line bet on the Royals.
Oh, yeah.
And the over. So it hit.
He saw the name of the opposing pitchers like over, yeah. Over, over.
Yeah. Was that the last time he pitched? And I'm being serious. Like, I never heard of that person before.
I couldn't tell you. I haven't heard the name since.
Bailey over.
But yeah, it was the first Sunday game was... the moment that I was in on the Royals.
Okay, that's good. That's early for you. I mean, for somebody who's negative about everything all the time, like that's early.
Yeah, but it stemmed the time. We always talk about how important April is, and the year before they lost 6 of 7 out of the gate, and they needed to do something that Sunday for the city to make sure, and again, there were 159 other games. They had plenty of other chances.
Right.
That Sunday felt bigger than a normal Sunday game 3.
Because as you know, Steven, like everybody's waiting for that shoe to drop.
Always.
Including all of us. Because that's the way it's been, right? You're just like with this baseball team. And I said to Dusty and Brake, I said, I think, you know, some people were crying last night over the loss. And I'm like, this isn't a cryable loss. I said, the reason we've cried in the past when the Royals have lost and did all this stuff is because we didn't think they'd ever get back. Because that's the way it's always been. I look at it the same way, like we talked about, leaving that game against the Patriots, running out of that same going, this is the beginning. This isn't the end of something.
I mean, it's easy to say this now after they lost 3-1 in the series. I don't think they were better than the Yankees. And just given the last month of kind of chaos with Vinny's injury, the guys that were actually playing in the field, like Robbie Grossman isn't good. Tommy Pham is fine, right? this was not the team.
Right.
So I never thought this was like a World Series team. And again, I know that's easy to say after, you know, getting eliminated, but
boy, but they sure played like they were good with the Yankees, though, with the way their starting pitching was. It gives you an opportunity.
Yeah. The Yankees just had more guys.
No question.
And listen, the big three, they got unlucky, right? Bobby had never been that poor hitting for a four-game stretch all season. That's just baseball luck. Mm-hmm. Vinny was clearly not himself, and I think Salvi just was in a slump.
Yeah.
Like, that's pure luck. And I know we can say the Judge didn't have a good series, but Soto's a tough at bat. Stanton was incredible. Wells is good.
Yeah.
You know, they just had more guys, and that's okay, but this is the beginning. This is not the end.
No, and that's why I'm not, like, sad. I'm like, this isn't like 14. We're like, oh, man, they lost, or 15, or, like, any of these moments. Like, you don't need to be crying over this, right? Like, I'm not telling you how to feel, but I think you should be excited about this, much like you were with Mahomes. Like, I think this is the beginning, and the reason I say that is for one reason and one reason only, John Sherman. He has shown that he's willing to invest in this team. We were always crying and upset with the Royals in the past because we knew we had an owner that was a cheap ass. There's just no other way to put it, and he wasn't going to invest in this team. John has shown he's invested in this team. Then they won. He wants to be a winning organization. He's from here. He doesn't want to be embarrassed at Hy-Vee when he's standing in line and people say your ball club stinks, so I mean, this is a guy who I think the reason why you're not sad today is because ownership puts you in that position.
Yeah, and I actually, this kind of comes full circle to the question that Dusty just asked me. You know, I guess I am management, right? So growing up in my 20s and early 30s when I was on the air, just like a young kid, I thought sports was just about who had the better team, right? Like, I would always bet on Baylor to beat Duke because Baylor had better players, but Duke was way better coached.
Yep.
The thing that I've learned, I guess, in the chair that I'm sitting in now is organizations matter more than we think. Mm-hmm. Like, Jaden Daniels and the Commanders aren't 4-1 with Daniel Snyder as the owner this year. Like, I just believe that for a fact.
I agree with that, 100%.
The Jets aren't good or bad because Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. That is a crap business and a crap organization.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And to your point with John Sherman, he's not going to let this go 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
Right.
No, right. So that's, to your point, like, I think that's why this feels really good, because you have a owner who's a local guy. You have an owner who's a baseball fan. Mm-hmm. You have an owner who showed he's going to spend money. Both sides of the parking lot are in really good positions organizationally. And if you look at, like, kind of the parallels between the two, Clark learned his lesson after 12,
no
right?
No doubt. He became better.
John Sherman, I don't think John Sherman learned his lesson after 23, but John Sherman wasn't going to go through 23 again. Mm-hmm.
And that was really his kind of first true year as owner of this franchise. Pandemic, work stoppage.
Yeah, it was insane. He took over at the worst time ever. Then you look at the GMs. Brett Veach, God, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
J.J. Piccolo, not Dayton Moore for all the good and all the bad, right? Then you have Andy Reid, best coach in football. Matt Quatrera is a steady hand. And then you have superstar. Like, the backbones of both organizations are as strong as they're ever going to be in this town right now.
And I think a lot of what's going on with the Royals is because John is such a big Chiefs fan and understands how that organization worked, and you follow great organizations. And I'm glad you bring up the point about, like, ownership and organizations. Organizations are bad because of their owner. Like, look at the bad organizations in all the sports, the perennially bad organizations.
Cleveland.
Yeah, right. Their owner sucks.
Carolina is not a bad football team. No. Carolina is a bad organization.
David Tepper is a bad person.
Right. Yes. Yeah. The Chicago Bears are a bad franchise because their ownership sucks. The Royals were a bad franchise, not because of Dayton Moore or Aller Baird or Ned Yost or Tony Muser. They were bad because David Glass sucked as an owner
of
this franchise.
Who's that hockey organization that's that way? Is there one?
A hockey organization that's always bad?
That has, like, bad ownership because of
Arizona?
I guess. I don't know if hockey's on such a lower level than the other three sports that are. I don't know. I guess I don't know enough about hockey owners to answer that question.
I mean, and the Royals are really that prime example. When Ewing Kauffman owned the team, they were the premier organization in Major League Baseball, right? Then Ewing Kauffman died and it became a mess. And now John Sherman has taken over and it's going to become a premier organization in baseball. The teams that have success in sports are strong at the top with ownership. And the teams that don't, it's not the coach, it's not the quarterback, it's not the players, It's ownership. And if you're an owner of a team that's always losing, it's your fault, man.
Yeah, I heard, I think it was Mac talking about it 2 weeks ago when they benched Bryce Young. I don't think Bryce Young is bad. Like 32 out of 32 teams would have drafted Bryce Young in the top five picks, right? He got drafted to the worst situation ever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think Bryce Young is very good because I think he's small and weak arm, whatever. But he got...
Chad Pennington.
Yeah, he got recruited to the wrong team at the wrong time. And listen, the Chiefs struck lightning with Pat. Like, Pat, I think, was always going to be great, but Pat also got the benefit of a lot of things, which is what good organizations and good management does.
Do you think Mahomes would win a Super Bowl at this point in his career if he was with any other team?
No, because if he's drafted by the Giants, Patrick Mahomes is a mid
quarterback. Yeah, I would say 16 to 20 yes, 16 no.
Yeah, I think Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid were the perfect match at the perfect time for each other.
I think Pat's generational, so I think he wins Super Bowls with 24 of 32 NFL teams.
I also think the underestimating line of Patrick Mahomes' career is Alex Smith. I think that, you know, he was brought into a situation where it wasn't hostile. Like, you look at Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, like, when he first got in, obviously Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl because he was a top-tier talent at the time, but, like, they had kind of a weird chemistry with, like, are you going to replace this great Hall of Fame quarterback? Not yet, you are. You look at Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes' relationship, and it was like, hey, you have, like, this arm that is better than anything we've ever seen, but let me entice you on a better mindset of football. Here's what zone reads are going to look like. Here's how they're going to try to trick you. You can do what I can't, but you also don't have what I have, which is the mind of the game. And I think without that, we're not sitting here today talking about what could be the greatest quarterback we've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, well, Rodgers is a jerk and yeah. Alex Smith isn't. Like, right, right. I know that's a simplified version, but, no, you that, know, I mean, that's all you really need to say. Yeah. Rodgers is football James Harden. Like, there are a lot of those guys in the league that are just losing players. And I know Rodgers has a championship,
but only one
14 years ago. And, you know, again, sometimes lightning strikes, but over time, there are just losing players, and Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys.
Yeah, he's not a winner. They don't win necessarily because of Aaron Rodgers right now. Look at what's going on with the Jets right now. He has crushed that organization. He has cost people jobs.
Woody Johnson also has crushed that organization.
Terrible owner. Right, and yeah. Look, the Knicks and the Rangers are the same way with Dolan. Why are the Knicks and Rangers always so bad? Their owner sucks.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
That's just kind of the way it is. So you put this season to bed, and you start to look forward. I mean, you know, this offseason, I think, can be a wild offseason for the Royals. I think you can make some trades. I think you can sign some players. I mean, you get Juan Soto and Blake Snell in here, and things are going to be good next
year. Sure, yeah, why not? That's that simple. Right. I actually think it's going to be a very simple offseason. Look at the team, right? The infield is set. Five positions. Catcher's finished. First base is finished. Second, short, and third. All done. They need two outfielders. I think it's that simple.
Yep.
They need someone at the top of the lineup to hit in front of Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, and they need someone to mash. And I don't know if Jack Caglione, how do you say it? Whatever. Mm-hmm. He's not probably ready next year, right?
No. Right.
Maybe in 2 years, he's that guy. They need a table setter and someone who can then get the scraps after Salvi in the four hole.
Yeah, they definitely need that.
It's that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you ever had a moment in sports in your life that you cried after a loss?
All the time.
Really?
Oh yeah, God!
I'm a crier though, so I cry at movies, TV shows, sports all the time.
What's the last movie you cried in?
Oh, I'll tell you what makes me cry now: League of Their Own. I'm not kidding. As a dad,
no crying in baseball.
I know, but when he sends his girl on that train and says goodbye to, oh my God, as a dad, I start welling.
I actually know the answer. So I flew to Salt Lake City in August, and I started watching Miracle.
Oof.
And I teared up. I mean, basically the whole movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Field of Dreams makes me tear up too.
Yeah. Any sports movie will get me, like, you know, Friday Night Lights when he puts the ring on his son's finger at the final scene. I mean, it's just never waterworks. You've never seen the movie Friday Night Lights?
Never seen it.
Why do we always do that though?
That just rubs me the wrong. That's my favorite sports movie of all time. Okay, so,
but why do we always do that? Why? I can't believe you've never seen that. No matter what it is. You never had a ham sandwich? You know, like, it's
like ham sucks, but yeah. What can you expound on that?
I just never got around to it. I heard so many people like you that have said it's one of the greatest movies of all time.
Because I actually think the book is overrated. I think the movie's way better than the book.
Oh, I thought the book was great. Like when I first moved to Texas, I bought that book because I knew I was going it, and I thought it, the book was fantastic.
I love the movie.
I think Varsity Blues is miles ahead of that movie.
Well, you've never seen it, so how do you know?
I don't need to say that. I'd rather watch a movie like Varsity Blues than watch a movie like Friday Night Lights. I don't need to see Tim McGraw be abusive father duct taping his son's hands to the football. I don't like the lead actor. He was in Sling Blades and Tout or whatever the movies are that you've seen every single one, like CDOT with Fast and Furious. I just never really had, like, when it comes to movies, I have to have, like, I'm going to see that. And maybe I'll watch it this weekend and have a review Monday, but I've just never really cared to watch it. Somebody says a TV show is better than the movie.
I don't think that's true. I think the TV show is good, but wildly overrated.
We were talking about crying. I cried when Walter White died.
Seriously?
Oh, God, yes.
There's no way.
Oh, yeah. I was so, like, okay, so it was
I
also
haven't seen Breaking Bad, so.
Breaking Bad!
Look, I watched it during COVID. I was 10 years late.
Breaking Bad's a great TV show of all time. It's on my list.
Yeah. I know.
But no, when he died, yeah, because.
Spoiler alert.
Well,
was I supposed to cry last night? Is that why you asked the question?
Some people did. Okay. Pam called in crying.
Bawling.
I didn't feel that emotion at all.
Bobby's eyes were clearly teared up.
My daughter said to me last night as we're driving home, 13 years old, and we're listening to Ryan and Denny, and you know, she says, you know, if this was a 2015 OG Royals, maybe I'd be upset, but this isn't the same as that. And she was 4, you know, back then when that happened. Or 3.
That's definitely a Fesco child.
You know, and I'm like, yeah, I totally get your point. Like, I think the reason we had that emotional feeling back then is because nobody trusted the owner. We didn't ever think we'd be back there again.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why I didn't feel that way walking out this time is because I trust the owner and I know we'll be back next year.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I cried after the Chiefs won the Super Bowl this past season.
This past season?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
first one?
You know, the first one I was here at work, so I was busy. This past one I got to watch at home. So.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I teared up. Right. You know, and
so you cry in sports movies. You don't cry in like movies like Armageddon.
Oh, I cried all of those.
Anytime when he rips
and
the patch,
I don't want to miss a thing.
Yeah, I would say the Aerosmith hug on the ground was waterworks
when he
start
rips,
coming.
When he rips the patch off and he says, "You go take care of my daughter." I'm getting chills now. I'm like, oh crap!
I don't cry at that part. When Ben Affleck lands and he puts the ring on, that's the moment for me. And movie, I'll cry.
He rips the patch off to give to Billy Bob Thornton, and then he goes, "Go take care of my daughter," or something like that, dude. It's every single, and then I cry in Simon Birch every time I watch it.
Oh yeah, that was a crier too. Yeah,
God's Instrument.
What about the end of Seinfeld? Did you cry when they put?
No, I did not.
No. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Free Willy, I cried in. When he does like,
why are you naming movies like Free Willy and Simon Birch?
Because that actually
these
is
are
an emotion,
deep cuts.
Those are emotional endings. I don't cry in a ton of movies. I do cry. I did cry in Forrest Gump
when he
asked Jenny, he's like, "Is he like me?" And she's like, and he's just sitting there, and they go sit next to each other. I'm like, "Damn it!"
Yeah, those things hit differently now. Being a dad, too.
Right.
You're like,
yeah,
you know,
for sure,
they hit so differently now. You know, being a father and whatnot.
What were we talking about?
Simon Birch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sports things we've cried at. I'm trying to think of the other last ones that I've cried at.
Did you cry in the AFC Championship game loss in 2019 to the Patriots?
No, I was more pissed.
No, because talk about work. That was, I was looking at flights to Atlanta for the entire staff. Yeah. So
I was sitting with Andrew Benintendi, who was on the phone with his dad crying because they're Bengal fans.
Wait, 19 was the Patriots.
I'm talking about the Patriots.
Oh, the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about. Yeah.
I didn't have time to cry.
I was more pissed at the rest of that game.
I was just like, we got out of there fast.
I cried at the end of Terminator 2 when he puts his thumb up and he goes into the lava.
You know what he said?
I'll be back.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, man. The ending of Con Air made somebody cry on the text line.
I never saw that.
He gives his daughter the bunny?
That's full of blood of Cyrus the Virus? Or is it Bad Billy Bendelman? That's a deep cut there.
No, it's Cyrus the Virus.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. You probably did cry at the birth of both of your children.
No.
No.
No?
Not even close. That's not?
Okay.
I wasn't even looking.
No. My dad cried in disappointment. He's like, oh, God, a boy.
I'll be honest with you. I thought our second child was a boy. I'm like, oh, my God. That's the umbilical cord. I'm like, oh.
You're so mentally fried, you can't even get tears going at the birth of your kid.
What's the angle? Are you at shoulder length? Or are you, like, front row?
No, you're down.
Oh, man. I was in Canada, that far north.
Oh,
oh, you were.
You weren't anywhere near the equator.
I wouldn't even look until they were completely wiped.
Well, we were C-section both times.
Okay, so that's different.
The first one, I'm like, God, what is that awful smell? They're like, that's your wife's flesh. I'm like, oh.
No, I was DJing off my iPad, and I was.
You're DJing?
Oh yeah.
What was the song of choice when the first kid was born?
Return of the Mac.
That's awesome.
That's a great song.
What about the second child? Return of the Mac.
I don't even remember what the second one was. The closet getting the freaker.
Oh, I wouldn't even because I don't like fluids, blood, anything like that. So I would
not pass out.
I would not look until I said
we're both natural.
Yeah.
So you know, C-section.
No.
So you wouldn't have made it through a C-section then because the smell.
I wouldn't have been in the room. I would have had mother-in-law. Or, nope.
Yep. And then they thought on the second one they left an instrument inside her.
Are you serious?
Oh God, yes.
Like a scalpel.
I think it was like cotton swabs or something because they do like a count at the end, you
cotton
know, to make
swabs
sure.
An instrument?
And so then they had to like do like an X-ray to see if they left anything inside of her.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Well, how about this for a round table?
Sports.
What's your biggest hot take for the rest of the football season?
The Chiefs need to make a wide receiver trade.
Who do you want?
I think Amari Cooper makes a ton of sense. He's not expensive. He's good. It's 1 year. Let's get over the hump, and then we reset after three.
Juan Soto or Blake Snell?
Juan Soto.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think there's any reason why we're not going to get Juan Soto here.
Okay.
I think it's a lock.
Bob Fesco or Dusty Likens?
Mac Morey.
That's right. Didn't say Josh.
Steven Spector, you heard him. 500 more subscribers, and we get lunch at 801 Chop House, apparently.
There you go.